go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We find our buddy John Walton, the radio voice of the Washington Capitals, who you hear right here on The Fan. So, John, the NHL draft came and went this weekend. The Caps, center of everything. And we're curious how their haul came together. What you thought about their draft process?
Well, I think it was pretty good. I think that, you know, you're always looking at the best available players. And, you know, I had a chance to talk with Ross Mahoney at the beginning of last week, who's done 28 of these things now, which is incredible. And the one thing that you really come to appreciate, I guess, over the course of, you know, for me, 15 years and the OV era, we're talking 20, is that the Caps have been really good for almost that entire period. And not to say that they won it all or not even talking about playoff success, but their regular seasons have been very good. So they're always picking 20 something or something along those lines. And to be able to get the guys over the years that they have is incredible. I mean, Evgeny Kuznetsov came in the 20s. John Carlson came in the 20s. Mike Green came in the 20s. I mean, those are the kinds of guys that they've been able to pull out. So for, you know, whether it's a first rounder at Lakovic or whether you get down the list a little bit, I am constantly amazed. And certainly all of the credit, not just, of course, to the guys at the top with Chris Patrick and Brian McClellan, but Ross Mahoney knows what he's doing. And to be able to have him at the helm for, I can't imagine there's too many teams that have had the same draft architect for the better part of three decades. And his body of work over the course of the last 20 years, boy, it really, really speaks for itself.
John, the roommates at Cap One Arena have a theme, have an idea, it seems like, of what they like and when they end up drafting. When you listen to them talk about the players, first thing that happens is positional size. They want guys that are taller than the average at their position, guys that are, have, you know, long reach, athletic, pain in the butt. That's kind of like the theme, right? They have these guys that basically grind, love basketball, and are long and bothersome to opponents. What's the theme with this set of draft picks here for the Capitals, if there is one?
Well, I think size is certainly part of it, and speed. And I think just maybe to the bigger picture for a second, I mean, this, over the course of now 2 years in, has been a rebuild, retool, whatever word you want to use, on the fly. And the first year was pain because they didn't make the playoffs, and guys left, and they accumulated draft capital, and now last year it was really good because they went out and got seven guys where they really kind of upped the ante, but the work is not done yet. And the guys who are picked in this particular draft, you're looking at helping the organization in, let's say, 2 to 3 years, depending on, you know, maturation. And the Capitals generally are overcooking guys anyway, so they're going to be in Hershey. They're going to, you know, play out, you know, if it's a, you know, in the college guys that they've drafted over the last couple of years are perfectly fine, you know, going back for sophomore, even junior season. Same thing in junior where they're going to play until 20. Andrew Kristol almost made this team last year. He's going to be in town this week for his development camp. Really curious to see what he can do. Now, he's a second rounder now from 2 years back, but that's kind of the window. So the guys that you're talking about, when you are getting to what you hope is full throttle again and you've completely retooled and very likely beyond the Ovechkin era, what does this team look like? I think that's what a lot of these guys are. I think that's what they will be in a couple of years. The names that you've heard, you don't necessarily need to commit to memory right now, but I think when you're talking 2 years from now, like, okay, well, this is what happened in junior, or this is what happened overseas, wherever they happen to be. And, you know, a couple of years from now, that's when they start to assimilate into this lineup and hopefully right at the top of the National Hockey League.
Taking inventory early on in this Caps offseason, they had their draft this weekend. Free agency is just about a week away, but they have not waited to start wheeling and dealing. They've already made a trade that could change what the bottom six looks like this year. What'd you make of the move that Chris Patrick and company already made?
Yeah, Justin Shortis an interesting guy because there was no real room in the Florida organization for him. And, you know, I think at first blush, when you look at it, you're like, well, wow, this guy's got four games in the NHL and you give up a second rounder. Obviously, the hockey operations folks see something there that is very interesting to them. And they've got him under contract now. He was going to be an RFA, restricted free agent, And so they got him under contract, and he's good for the next 2 years at a very nice price, too. I think it was $850, something like that, for the next 2 years. So I'm told he's going to be on the big league roster. They did not get him to go to Hershey. I think in place of probably, I'm guessing, and you know, until things are official, I don't want to get too far out on a limb, but if Taylor Radish doesn't return, I think that's the place that you might see him on that wing. And, you know, he had a really nice postseason in the American Hockey League. The Charlotte Checkers went all the way to the Calder Cup Final, and he was a big piece that got him there. So certainly not the big thing that they're going to do. I know unless you're a real hardcore hockey fan, July 1 isn't something that maybe moves the needle a ton, but, man, it's exciting. I mean, tomorrow at noon, the whole landscape changes, and it is going to be nuts because when you have – the salary cap going up by what it is, and you've got a lot of teams that are just going to be shut up and take my money pretty much starting at 12:01 tomorrow. The Capitals are going to be involved. I don't think there's any question about that. Mitch Marner's probably going to end up in Vegas and playing with the Golden Knights. That might happen today in a sign and trade. So a lot of exciting things that are going to be happening, and I expect the Caps to be pretty active tomorrow.
You know the voice. That's John Walton here with Grant and Danny. So where might they shop? I mean, what makes the most sense in terms of need, want, place to improve? I mean, it's a fairly set lineup, right, that you would be walking into. But, you know, where might they go shopping? Marner was a name I'd seen linked to Washington as just by way of example, John. Like, what do you think they need and where might they go?
I think you're going to be looking at forward, and I think specifically the one line that just never really worked last year for whatever reason, and there were several, was the third line where they just didn't get the offensive production. I think they're going to get a center. I think they are going to add to that third line. I don't know. I don't have a real true sense on what they're going to do with Anthony Beauvillier. I liked him. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him as someone who played last year with Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. That's pretty good on a resume. So I think he's going to get attention. You know, I think a guy like Nikolai Ehlers in Winnipeg, who's a really fast skater, he can really move. Somebody potentially in the top six. I think the real question, guys, is what they want to do at 3C. And when we went back to breakdown day when the season was over, the door was certainly left open for Connor McMichael to move into that spot next year. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but they certainly mentioned it as a possibility. So that reshapes what they may do tomorrow as well. If they go out and get somebody who they deem to be a top six left wing, let's say, that certainly sounds like Connor is going to move to center. If they go out and find a center, maybe they're going to keep with that second line theme of McMichael and Dubois and we'll call it Wilson, whatever it ends up being on that right side. They're going to get a couple of forwards. I think it's, are they swinging for the fences with one really big guy? Maybe. Or is it going to be two or three guys? But I think primarily what they're going to do tomorrow, I think, is going to involve the forwards, and somewhere in some way or another, it's going to involve the third line.
Ehlers is fascinating because he's a star. I mean, that would be a massive splash and a really significant upgrade, and a guy offensively who could send ripple effects. I mean, that would be really exciting. But it also goes a little bit against type. Like, when they've made those big moves, it's normally guys that are younger than him. I'm thinking like Dylan Strome or even PLD, right? He's going to be 29 years old, I think, this season. What do you make of him just as a fit? How would he fit in? And is that where you're saying you bring someone like him in? Now McMichael probably is the center.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the path. I think getting Ehlers into the boat, to your point, is there's a couple of things in play there. One is certainly age. And I would say, like, in a perfect world, you'd say, okay, four-year deal, that's fine, right? But for a guy like that, he's going to command probably more, not just the money, but the term. And that's where I think for the Caps and for anybody else, you're probably questioning, well, do we really want to go 7 years with this guy? And by the way, that's the last year for seven. With the new CBA, the max from another team is only going to be six moving forward. So not that it matters a ton, but do they want to be able to commit that long term to someone who's going to be 36 at the end of it, and speed is his game for sure. Maybe. You know, if you can do it for less term, you'd probably like that if you're the Caps, but you love what he brings. And, you know, in watching guys the playoffs after the Caps went out, I think we learned a couple of things big picture. The Caps have their progress over the last 2 years in this retool has been, I think, really, really good. I think when you watched round three and round four, and I'm sure that you guys did, those teams were a notch above. I mean, I don't think the Caps were, if they had gotten past Carolina, I don't know that they were honestly going a lot further. There is still work to be done. But when you look at what they need, you need play drivers like Ehlers. You need guys who can skate and are good at both ends of the ice. And I think those are the kinds of players as they continue this. And I still think this is still another year or two that they're going to be getting back to that elite status. But they're very good. And under Spencer Carberry, just a magnificent season and winning a playoff round and all of that. It's just more than on track. Ahead of schedule, maybe. But there's still some work to be done. I'll be very, very curious to see what direction that takes tomorrow.
Yeah, John, you just touched on it. For me, you've even with that third line struggling last year, you had plenty to have really good regular season success. That was awesome. The eyeballs should be, in my mind, addressing what you lacked in the postseason to catch up to a Florida or a Carolina, et cetera. What's the distinction there, if there is one, or is it what's good in the regular season is good in the postseason, and kind of go into some of those elements that might be missing to be up with the big boys?
I still think they need a little bit of speed, Danny. I mean, when I look at the roster and I look at the pace of play, and even in the West Final, in the conference final, watching Edmonton and watching Dallas, that's just, you know, I see this team 82 times a year. And when you look at the teams that you don't see as much, but then you see where they are and why they're in round three, it's no accident those four teams got there. Florida was the best team. There is no question. Edmonton was probably the second best team. Sometimes in hockey, weird things happen. It's a crazy game with a bouncing puck, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, something weird will happen. Like in 2012, the Kings were the 8th seed. They won the whole thing. But I really think that it's changed a little bit, and that you can't just luck into something with a bounce here or there. When the Caps won in 18, I don't know that it was the best team they had. It wasn't the best team they had from 2015, 16, 17, 18, but they were playing their best hockey, and they played it when it mattered most, and that's why they won. There's a reason teams win. But for these four teams that I saw in the third, fourth round, like you need to get quicker. I think they need a little bit more skating ability. That's some of what the drafting process is, right? So these guys are hitting in a year or two. But, I mean, just guys who are playmakers. And that's the argument. If there is an opportunity to go big, to say, okay, we're going to bring this guy in because we expect him to really drive things for the long haul for a long time. Just one of those just like in the NBA, you need to be able to have that horse in the middle, right? You've got to be able to have the guy you build around. And it's not all that different. I mean, it's more of a team game when you got 18 skaters and everybody's got to contribute, but you got to have something to, like, that big piece too. And the Caps 1 through 12 as good as anybody in the NHL last year. 1 through 6 on the back end, same. But did they have, like, that really top end? There's no Connor McDavid among those guys, right? So, you know, grooming one of those guys to be one of those big impact players, or having a couple of those big impact guys. If you can find one now, great. Hopefully you've drafted one here and you're able to see that come in the next year or two.
John, thank you. We appreciate the insight. Should be a fascinating day in the NHL tomorrow with the cap expanding as well. We appreciate it.
Well, looking forward to it. And guys, always chatting with you here in hockey weather. This is really nice. Thanks.
Yeah, prime hockey weather. That's right.
That's right. This is hockey Stanley Cup weather.
100 in the shade.
Out in Vegas. Yeah. Thanks, John.
See you, bud.